Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S., and Canada, 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we talked about a passage out of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and this is a great chapter of encouragement for each and every one of us. It's that great cloud of witnesses that serve as an example for us in our day-to-day lives. And we see just one person after the next that God is commending for their faith. And these are all Old Testament saints. And so we have so much more in our possession than what they did in theirs. So when Moses was alive, you know, God's presence was among the people, but God's presence wasn't in Moses.
Right.
So for you and me, God's presence is in us. He, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We see that in the New Testament. So he knew that he was not, his identity should not be based in his upbringing. He was brought up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, brought up as royalty in Egypt and had everything at his beck and call that Egypt had to offer. So he knew that's not his real identity. And so when time came, he chose not to identify with the Egyptians, but rather with the people of God, with the Hebrews. Yeah. And God put his hand on him and said, I want you to lead the people out. Now, why is that important to us? Well, it's important to us in the fact that we have a new identity in Jesus Christ. You know, we were once identified with the world. We followed the ways of this world. We lived to gratify the desires of the flesh. We were by nature children of wrath or children of disobedience. Yeah. That's who we were. We were sinners. That was our identity. Mm-hmm. And so we were connected to the world. And yet we were taken out of the world. We were rescued from the grip of the world so that we could experience new life in Christ. And part of that new life in Christ is having a new identity. Yeah. We are children of God. God has poured his love out on us in such a way that we are children of God. And indeed, that's what we are. That's who we are. Mm-hmm. So for us to be able to live as God has called us to live, we have to have a solid understanding of who we are in Jesus Christ. We've got to know who we are.
Yes, indeed.
You know, when our kids were in high school and that sort of thing, whenever they left the house, Gina and I would always say, remember who you are. Why? Because identity is going to shape action.
Yes, indeed.
It is going to shape direction. It's going to help provide purpose. So we need to know who we are as children of God. And when we know who we are, then this story of Moses and his inspirational faith can really become our story. We can say no to worldly passions and no to ungodliness and live righteous, upright lives in this present generation. Where does it start? It starts with understanding who you are in Jesus Christ. It starts with understanding that you have been made righteous, that you have been made holy, that you have been made alive together with Christ, that you are a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. It starts with understanding that because you've been born again of the Spirit of God, you've been born again into the family of God. That's who you belong to. And as a result, you are called a child of God. Man, let this sink deep into your heart, and it will change every aspect of your life.
Good stuff, Bob. Thank you. And I agree, that identity issue is just so vital for us to understand as believers. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. If it's about 5 minutes after the hour, 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we have an open line for you, as I said, at 844-322-2742. That's good. Of course, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Friends, as Bob related earlier this week, we need you, our faithful listener friends, to help as we approach the end of September. We need donations of $50,000 by the 30th to pay for radio airtime and online streaming. As I said earlier, it's not an insurmountable amount. It just takes a little bit from a lot of people. A lot of you are giving just a little bit. We can reach that very easily, I do believe. But it is a sum that we need in order to stay up to date with our program carrier. So please donate today if you can at basicgospel.net. And as our thanks to you for your gift, by the 30th, we'll send you the excellent five-message DVD by Bob and Richard. They put it together for you. It's called Your Living Hope, and a copy. Your copy is awaiting your donation. So please, help us reach that $50,000 mark by the 30th. Just click donate at basicgospel.net, and we'll say thank you for your partnership with us here at Basic Gospel. Well, Bob, we had this question that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi, fellas. I called yesterday, and my name is Daniel, and I'm from Rancho Cordova, California. And I'm kind of confused as to how much sinning someone does. Is there a point where God won't take you back? And I have so much condemnation that sometimes it just feels like God's not interested. And I wonder. Anyway, if you could say something about that, I sure would appreciate it. I do enjoy listening to you. Thank you very much.
Well, Daniel, we appreciate the call, and we appreciate your question, and I can just sense that you really want to know the answer. You really want to know if God is in your corner or if he's not. And right now, you're looking at the enormous amount of sin, that full weight of sin in your life, and that sin is telling you that God is probably disgusted with you, that God is probably just ticked at you beyond measure, and that he's so mad that he's just abandoned you, that he's just totally given up. Well, that's not the case. And if you let sin talk, it's going to tell you a lie about God. So instead of allowing sin to talk to you and create a narrative as far as God is concerned, look at the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross of Jesus Christ is going to tell you the truth. And what the cross of Jesus Christ is going to tell you is that there is no line that you can cross where you would be beyond the reach of God's grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. So, Daniel, I want you to think about this, that you have a certain number of sins that you've committed, that you will commit in your life. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he looked at every single one of them. He took every single one upon himself. He bore your sins in his body, and he died in your place. But not only did he die for your sins, he died for the sins of the entire world. So he died for my sins. He died for Bob Davis's sins. He died for everybody's sins. So his death was sufficient to cover all and to take away all. So your sins just make up a very small part of that. So what does that tell you? It tells you this, that there's no line that you can cross where you're beyond the reach of God's grace and forgiveness. So I want you, Daniel, to take a look at the cross and to realize that God demonstrated his love for you right there in this, that while you were a sinner, Christ died on your behalf. So when you were a sinner, when you were at enmity with God, God did something on your behalf. So he's taken away your sins once and for all. The blood of Jesus has done that. There's no other sacrifice that is going to be made on your behalf. Jesus said, "It is finished." So we rest in that. So when we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we rest in his death, burial, and resurrection, that is the gospel, then we have this promise that those who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation for those. So the question, Daniel, is really this: are you in Christ? And if you are in Christ, there is no condemnation for you. Why? Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from sin and death. Now, Daniel, the real problem is not our sins. The real problem was our sin, singular, our unbelief in Jesus. So when we receive that gospel message, that sin is taken away totally. Why? Because we go from unbelief to belief. And in going from unbelief to belief in Jesus, we go from death to life. We're made alive together with Christ, and we're made alive because the sin issue has been dealt with. Your sins have been taken away. So, Daniel, if you have received Christ, if you have come to that point and said yes to the good news of Jesus, to his death, his burial, his resurrection, not only have your sins been forgiven, not only are you no longer under condemnation, but you've been made alive together with Christ, and Christ has come to live inside of you. So wherever you go, he goes.
Yes.
And he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He's never going to turn his back on you. He's never going to be against you. God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? So, Daniel, the key to you, for you, is to start listening to the right voices. Instead of listening to all of that sin in your life, sin is never going to tell you the truth.
No.
So quit listening to sin and start listening to the message from the cross. And the message from the cross is this: that God loves you. He's demonstrated that love for you. He wants you to experience his life. He wants you to experience his life to the full. So rest in the fact, Daniel, that Christ has already died in your place. He's already taken away all of your sins so that you can experience new life in him. And Daniel, what we would like to do for you, I've written a book called Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and I want to send that to you, our compliments. And I think you're going to see in there some great news that can turn that fear, that shame, that guilt into faith and thankfulness and rejoicing in Christ Jesus. And that's what we want to see happen for you. So, Daniel, be sure and get back in touch with us. Give us your contact information so that we can send you this book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace.
And that same number is good, 844-322-2742, and you can leave a voicemail just as you did with your question, Daniel, and we're glad that you reached out to Basic Gospel. It is Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and again, that number, 844-322-2742, is available for you right now. Plenty of time on the clock. We'd like to talk with you. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Cody, who listens on WMUZ in Detroit. He said, I was listening to your broadcast, and a question posed about how things will proceed for believers and unbelievers on Judgment Day. I was confused a bit at the answer in regard to believers on that day. Hasn't it been said that as Christians we will be held accountable for how we lived this life? Aren't we to answer for everything we did as believers while we lived in this life? How exactly does that that process look for us, being that we are indeed saved and thankfully gifted with the kingdom of heaven for eternity? Do we receive a different portion of heaven according to how we exactly lived in this life? I would appreciate further insight on this matter, and thank you in advance.
Well, Bob, we see several things in Scripture that, just on surface will just scare the weebie-jeebies just right out of you.
That's right.
For example, in the book of Matthew, we see this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. So you think, oh my goodness, he's going to judge every single word I've ever said. And what he's talking about here, it's right in the context of blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying that either with your words, you're going to confess that Jesus is Lord and be saved, or with your words, you're going to deny that Jesus is Lord and continue on in your condemnation, continue on in that state of spiritual death. Yeah. So that's why Paul would say in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, then you will be saved. So we see that, but it's answered in this fact that we confess with our lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts and salvation is ours. We also see in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8, what we just talked about with Daniel, that therefore those who are in Christ, there is no condemnation for them.
Right.
So if you're in Christ, you've been taken out from underneath that condemnation that you entered into this world under. We all come into this world under that condemnation. Why? We're spiritually dead. So once we're made alive with Christ, that condemnation is lifted. We're alive with Christ, and Christ is alive in us, and we're going to be with him forever. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to be judged for our sins when we stand before him. They've already been judged by Jesus. So the only judgment that we'll receive is a judgment of saying, hey, you have received Jesus. You're going to be with me forever. That's the judgment, and that's a good judgment.
Yeah.
And then I think we'll have a chance at that same time to see how God has used us in our day-to-day lives here on Earth, planet Earth. And we'll get to see how those building materials of gold and silver and precious gems have been used in and through us by God himself to build his kingdom. And that's going to be a glorious thing. So there's absolutely nothing for us to fear in going to stand before God. Why? Because we've believed the testimony God has given concerning his son.
Yes, indeed.
And so that assures our hearts that when he is revealed, we're going to be there with him and we're going to be like him.
Cody, hope that's a help to you and an encouragement to your heart. And again, thanks to you for reaching out to us. Well, it is Basic Gospel, and friends, this month's donor gift is a DVD by Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer called Your Living Hope, which poses the question, how do you stay strong and true to who you are in Jesus Christ? We were talking about that issue of identity as we started the program. Well, anyway, this DVD is our gift to everyone who supports Basic Gospel this month, and your gift will help us reach that $50,000 mark that we need to reach by the 30th. Just click donate at basicgospel.net and request your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. Bob, this question from YouTube viewer Kay, and she says this is it comes out of the Lord's Prayer, what we call the Lord's Prayer. Why would we ask God to not lead us into temptation?
Well, he's not going to tempt us. So we know from the book of James that God is never going to tempt us. I think the real request there is basically, protect us. We live in a world where temptation is all around us. So we need to be protected. We need to understand that. So we know God isn't going to lead us into temptation. He can't be tempted with anything, and he doesn't tempt us with anything. So we just have to rest in that fact and understand that God is for us. He's not against us, that he's never going to accuse us. He's always going to work inside of us to assure us that we belong to him and to protect us from the evil one. That's what God does. And that's what Jesus prayed on our behalf in what we really know is the Lord's Prayer. So there's the Lord's Prayer that we see in Matthew that we have dubbed the Lord's Prayer, but the real Lord's Prayer is John 17. And so he says in that particular prayer, God the Father, please protect them from the evil one. Don't pull them out of the world necessarily, but protect them from the evil one. And that's the assurance that we need, that we have Jesus that has already prayed on our behalf to protect us from the evil one that's in this world.
Yeah. Thank you, Kay, for reaching out to us. And Bob, I had this question from Jerry from Lubbock, Texas. He said, will our loved ones who have gone on before us be able to see us from heaven? And if so, will they be sad about our sins?
Well, I don't think they're going to be looking down on us. We hear that all the time. They're looking down on us.
Yeah.
You know, somebody wins an important football game or basketball game, and their parents have died long before, and they'll say, "Oh, I just know they were looking down on this." Mm-hmm. Well, how do you know? I mean, what piece of information do you have that lets you know that they're looking down on you? We don't see anything like that in the Word of God. We don't see anything like that really anywhere out there. And yet, that's a nice sentiment. We hope that that's the case. We hope that they're looking down on the good things and then maybe have their eyes shut when we do bad things. I don't know. But there's nowhere in the Word of God that says those that have gone before us are looking down on us or looking out over us or any such thing that we can come up with. We know that when they're absent from the body, they're present with the Lord, and I think their eyes are going to be fully cast on him. And going to be rejoicing and experiencing joy to the fullest heights that they could experience in seeing Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that's good for them, and it's good for us that we have that hope that one day we're going to be with them and we're going to be rejoicing in the presence of Jesus Christ just as they are right now.
Absolutely. I was in a group meeting that was held to honor my late wife Diane, and one of the guys stood up and said, "Well, Bob, we miss her so much, and I know that she's looking down from heaven on us right now." I said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa." I said, "No, she's not." There was silence in heaven.
Yeah.
There was silence in the group. There was silence in the group, and then everybody kind of caught what I was saying.
Yes.
It was pretty good. But anyway, she has better things to do.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, quick question from Kobe, who lives in California, says, will there be marital relations in heaven?
Well, we see in Matthew 22, the Sadducees ask about marriage in heaven. So Jesus said there's not going to be marriage in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So we understand that. So if there's not going to be marriage in heaven, there's not going to be marital relations in heaven. That's always been bound up within the marriage relationship, the two becoming one flesh and enjoying that intimacy. But there's going to be an intimacy in heaven that we have with Christ, that we have with one another, that far transcends that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to have marriage in heaven, and therefore we won't have marital relations.
Absolutely. Bob mentioned his book earlier today, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, that he is sending to Daniel. And friends, if you don't have your copy of it, we encourage you to go online and click the resources. And under that resources menu, you will find our online store, and you'll find Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, and all of our resources to aid you toward spiritual growth and maturity. And thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel, everybody. Tomorrow, we'll continue with our new study series based on Bob Christopher's 10 all-time favorite Bible passages. We hope you're going to be here for that. In the meantime, if you have a question, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742, or drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Friends, please keep in mind, help us keep the good news coming on your station and online by donating at basicgospel.net to help us reach that $50,000 need that we have by the end of September, the 30th, of course. Just click donate at basicgospel.net to make your gift, and as our way of saying thanks for your partnership, we're going to send you our DVD called Your Living Hope by Bob and Richard. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us, and we would love to have your partnership by the 30th for sure. But now for Bob, Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be back again tomorrow for a top 10 study here on Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.